the next 2 weeks, brand new series called Driven. Can you say that? Driven. Come on, I need help. One more time. Driven. All right. Jesus Christ was driven. He was driven. He had drive. I want some drive. Amen. That's what I want in my life. I want drive, passion. A lot of ways you can call it, but he was driven. So today we're going to look at what drove Jesus. On Easter Sunday morning back here at 9 o'clock, part two is going to be what drove his enemies. And then on Easter Sunday morning, this service next Sunday, is what drives me. And I believe you'll say it drives you, and you want it to drive you. So a series on driven. So let's go with the message today. What drove Jesus? I want you to know that the graphics and things that you see in our messages, Roger the Dr. Johnson puts all this together. And I said, you know what, Roger? I'd like a road. And that road was leading to a cross. Amen? And buddy, he came up with it, didn't he? Look at you. Tell you what, all I can do is see things. But I sure can't make them happen, that's for sure. But thank the Lord for this. So what drove Jesus Christ? Let's go with the message now. A lot of scriptures today, and if we work hard, we can get her done in about 30 minutes. But I need your help and your encouragement today. Let's move it, Roger. Driven. The word means compelled, motivated, energized. Say that with me. It means compelled, motivated, energized. One more time. Driven means compelled, motivated, energized. Isn't that what you all say? Don't you want to be compelled, energized, motivated in what you're doing in your life? I want it in my service to the Lord, my love for my family. Driven. Let's look at it. Jesus agreed to come to earth, to talk our language, eat our food, wear our clothes, breathe our air, endure our disgusting and vicious treatment. Boy, you'd have to be pretty driven to do that, wouldn't you? He was everything, and he did it all. Let's look at it. He came from heaven to earth. Let's try it. You got the song? Here we go. Let's try it. Where's some words? Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. He came from where?
Heaven
to earth. You need to understand that. Before we can understand the drive that he had, we need to understand where he came from. Let's look at it. Let's just move with it right now. And we're just going to listen to some folks. This is what John the Baptist said. Where did Jesus come from? John the Baptist, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was of he of whom I spake. He that comes after me is preferred before me. Say it with me. For he was what? If you read your Bible, you know John was older than Jesus, right? Say, sure you do. He's 6 months older, right? But John says, oh, no. He was before me. Because Jesus came from eternity. He came from heaven to earth. Let's look at some other men. See what they said about him. John the Apostle. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So John the Apostle, the beloved Apostle, says, listen, he came from somewhere to here. Did not start with old little town of Bethlehem. He came from heaven to earth. Listen to the Apostle Paul, Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But watch it. Say it with me, verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the what? And was made in the likeness of. So Jesus came from where? From heaven to earth, for you and me. Listen to the Apostle Peter. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Watch it. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily, say that word, was foreordained before what? Heaven, now the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you. You hear all kinds of mess these days from a crazy book from Judas. You know, I think, well, I learned something this week. I finally learned that Judas was Jesus' best friend. You know what? If you believe that, good for you. if you don't have half a brain. Listen, that's pitiful. Terrible. We all need friends like that, right? You know? Be such a good friend, went out and killed himself afterwards. I mean, just wasn't so hunky-dory. But that's a whole other subject. But then you got the Da Vinci Code. All came from a lot of the same things, the same writings of the Gnostics, who didn't believe in Jesus Christ, who wanted to disprove Christ. That's why after Easter, we're going to take 3 weeks, and I've got a series I'm calling Debunking Da Vinci. Okay? Debunking Da Vinci. It's coming up! Alright? We're going to learn, not just to pick on folks, we're going to learn what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says, by the way. Did we put scripture up this morning, son?
Yes.
He came from heaven to earth. He was before us. And before he was born in Bethlehem, Jesus existed. He is God. Listen to Jesus himself. I am the living bread which came down from where?
Heaven.
If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I'll give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He said some other things. Look at this one. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with what? Thee before the world was. Now, interesting verse. You flip over to Isaiah now. Isaiah 42. Here's what God said in Isaiah. I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory will I not give to who?
Another.
To another. Neither my praise to graven images. Jesus was God. Because he shared the glory of God. He said, glorify me. God says, I won't glorify anybody but myself. That's who Jesus is. He is God. And even though that's hard for us to get that in our head, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, trust me, God's big enough to pull it off, okay? And he's done it. So what drove Jesus? Let's keep looking. He came from heaven and earth. He is God, and he has the glory. That's what we just saw. Some other things about his existing before he came to earth. He was in creation. Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by who?
Him.
And for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Keep moving. Something else. He was controlling creation. Jesus Christ with God in heaven, in eternity, controlling creation. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And then one other verse. He was with the Father before he came here to this planet. What drove him to do it? I mean, he was with God. He was in heaven. He was doing everything that needed to be done. He's controlling everything. And he came here for you and for me? That's amazing. John 17, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me, say it with me, before the foundation of the world. So before we can understand Jesus' drive, we need to understand where it came from. Alright? Something else we need to understand before we get to his drive, we need to understand why he came to earth. So do we understand where he came from a little bit better this morning? Now let's understand why he came to earth. Now I just have 4 reasons I put. There's a lot of reasons. But we put the ones I thought that were the most important. Number one, to reconcile us to God. That's why Jesus Christ came. Because he loves you. He came to reconcile you to God. Because you and me, we didn't have a dog's chance. Are you understanding? He came to reconcile us. We were sinners. God is holy. There was a big old gap in between, and we weren't going to make it unless Jesus came on that cross and built that bridge for us. And that's what he did. Hebrews 2:9. He came to this earth to reconcile us. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. So you're going to die one day, and I'm going to die one day. That's not going to do us a bit of good to get us to heaven. I mean, you know, so what? We live this life and we die one day. Is that going to get us to heaven? No, it was his death. It was his death and his resurrection. He tasted that for us so we could go to heaven. That's why it doesn't fly when you think that you can just live your good life and do your good works and somehow get you to heaven. That ain't going to do anything. You're just going to be dead in a hammer. You understand? You're not going to go to heaven. You're going to go to a place called hell because that's what the Bible teaches. And so important that he came to reconcile. reconciles. He saw that situation. He said, I got to go. And that's what he did. He was driven to do it. Hebrews 2:17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Why did Jesus come to earth? To reconcile us to God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now the Bible's full of this. And we just a few we picked out. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Amen? Nothing like somebody that knows the Lord, who's been saved, who's had their sins forgiven. Like Greg gave his story in the first service. Nothing like somebody that can tell you about the forgiveness of God, like somebody who's been forgiven. Amen? And see, when we've accepted Christ, it doesn't make us holier than thou. It means now we have a responsibility to share that ministry of reconciliation, help other people know this wonderful God who loves us and forgives us. It's phenomenal. He came to reconcile us, Mark 10, but Jesus called them to him and said unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But watch it. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man, say it with me this morning, came not to be what? Ministered unto, but say it with me, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So, where did he come from? Heaven or earth? Why did he come? To reconcile us to God. A couple other reasons real quick. To heal the broken. That's why Jesus Christ came. If you're here today and you're broken, you came to the right place. Amen? That's why we exist. To share that message. And Jesus Christ wants to heal you, your broken heart. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Luke 4:18, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Why else did Jesus come? He came to give us abundant life. Isn't that great? You might say, well, I've had a sorry life. I've always been mistreated. You don't understand. It's always going to be bad, bad, bad. Listen to me. Come on. You know, Jesus Christ came to give you an abundant life. That's not saying you don't have trouble, you don't have struggles, but let me tell you something. Things can get better. Amen? Do you believe that or not? I hope I'm surrounded with some people who believe that. Things can get better. God does love you. He wants to give you an abundant life. That's not a life that's going to be free of pain and problems and stuff like that. But he wants you to be able to rise above. And you can do that in Jesus Christ. Now Satan, he comes to steal, to kill, destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's why Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth. That's one of the reasons. Finally, another reason I put up, why did he come? To glorify his Father. John 17:4. I have glorified thee on earth, Jesus speaking. I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. So Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth. Why? To reconcile us. To heal the broken. To give us abundant life. To glorify God his Father. Now let's keep moving. Let's see what else we see. We know Jesus Christ was driven because we can see it in Scripture. And I just pulled out four of them that I saw as I was studying. Number one, let's look at it. We see that he was driven as a boy. What story comes to your mind? When he was what? At the what? Temple. How old was he about? Somebody tell me. Okay, there you go. So here's the deal. He came there. It was Passover time, feast time with his family. They went in large caravans. They traveled by foot or, you know, with donkeys, animals like that, and they would travel in large groups. And so they just assumed that Jesus was with them when they were going back home. But they got a day's journey or so, and they couldn't find him. And you know, if you go a day that away, it's going to take how long to get back? A day. There you go. Anyway, so they came back, and they said, you know, heck, your mother and I sought you sorrowing, Joseph says. And here's what Jesus said. They found him in the temple confounding the wise and the doctors. Here's what Jesus said. How is it that you sought me? Did you not know? Say this with me. I must be about my Father's business. I tell you what. When I speak to my kids, especially, or when I want something done and I use the word must, There's a little bit of drive in it. Are you understanding me? There's a little bit of compelling. There's a little bit of motivated. There's a little bit of energy. And can you see it? Can you see it in him early? Say, I mean, people think you talk to your mama like that. You know, he said, look, I must be about my father's business. He was driven. He knew what his journey was. He knew what his mission was. And he was driven as a boy. I see it at his baptism. Look at it. Same kind of language. Here he is, comes to John. John said what? Behold the what? Lamb of God that does what? Takes away the sin of the world. So he comes to... Jesus came to John from Galilee to Jordan and to John to be baptized of him. But John forbid him, saying, I need to be baptized of thee, and you come to me. Wouldn't we say the same thing, sir? Jesus came to you. Like if we're going to do baptism on Easter Sunday night, and Jesus showed up and said, would you baptize me? You know, I have need to be baptized of you. And that's what John was saying. But you know what? Jesus was driven, wasn't he? What did he say? Okay, no big deal. What did he say? Here's what he said. See if you can pick out the drive. And Jesus answered and said unto him, say it with me, suffer it to be so. For thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. It's got to be done. No other way. This is the plan. Can't get around it. Then he suffered him. He did it. You ever said now to your children? Say, do it what? Now! Does that mean later? Say, huh? See, you can feel it. Can you feel it? I'm not the one feeling it. I'm feeling it. As a boy, as a man, when he starts his ministry, he's got drive, he's got passion. We see it also in the temple. Maybe this one came to your mind. We see it in the temple later. The Jews' Passover was at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. These were corrupt crooks in the temple taking advantage of God's people. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, I think we found the word drive. He what? Drove. You think it had a little passion with it or no? You think there was some energy there? Yes or no? You think there was some compelling? You think he made the cord just so he could say, oh, by the way, I got a cord. If you want to leave, leave. Go ahead. Or do you think he was motivated? He compelled them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen. He poured out the changers' money and he overthrew the tables. Let's keep looking. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Don't you make my father's house a house of merchandise. Verse 17, his disciples remembered that it was written, say that part with me, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Zeal is a good word for drive, isn't it? If a person is zealous, he got a lot of zeal. Jesus had it as a boy. He had it at baptism. He had it at the temple. No question about it. Look at it. He had it in his mission. He had it in his mission, his reason for being here. Strange verse, but I want to share it with you. Luke 12:49. Jesus speaking. I am come to send what? Say it with me. Come on. I am come to what? To send.
Fire.
Do you feel some drive in that? Say, I'm come to send some fire.
I'm come to send some fire.
I don't think so. I'm come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? Look at 50. But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straight until it be accomplished? Could you see it? Can you see his mission? I have a baptism to be baptized with. We're not talking about this one that was with John. We're talking about the one that really was going to happen. His death, his burial, his resurrection. I have something to be baptized with that I've got to do until it's accomplished. Jesus says this, suppose you that I'm come to give peace on the earth, I tell you, division. Division. Can you feel it? It goes on to say there'll be five in a family, three will be against two. I thought all families got along when they became Christians. It doesn't happen. Tell you what, I mean, I hope it happens. I'd love to see your whole family come to know Christ, but it doesn't always happen. We got to pray for that end. But he says, I've come to send fire. I've come to die on the cross. I've got a mission. Now let's keep moving. So having said all that, I'm going to come more out. Man. This is harder to play in the heart. No, let's look now. So we've seen why he came, or where he came from. We've seen why he came, and we can see it in him. We can see that drive in him at different times in his life. But what drove him? What drove him? What was the gas in the engine? What was the thing in him that motivated him, that compelled him, that energized Jesus Christ our Savior? Certainly, I don't have all the answers, that's for sure. But I do believe that you'll agree with me on some things that I found. Here we go. Number one, what drove Jesus Christ? His compassion. Can you say that? His compassion. What's another word for compassion? Love. His love. His love. Had a song that just hit me in my head. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny. 'Twas the lonely hill of Golgotha, where he laid down his life for me. And if that isn't love, then the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow, he can't fly. Oh, if that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this, if that isn't love. Jesus loved us. He had compassion. It drove him. Why do we at Fellowship Church make such a big deal out of the love of Jesus Christ and loving people? We put it on a billboard. We're so serious about it. And not judging people and allowing people to come as they are. Because Jesus Christ loved people. We should love people. Amen? Come on, let's praise the Lord. We should love people. He loved folk. That's what drove him. What drives this church? Politics don't drive fellowship. Okay? It just doesn't. What we need is servants, people that work for the Lord, people that want to love the Lord. And I've said it before, if you're looking for a position or pats on the head or something like that, there's a lot of other churches you can go to get it. I'd rather spend, if I've even just got a few days left, I'd rather spend my few days trying to love people, reach people, share the gospel of Jesus Christ, make it a place where a table where folks can come and hear the Word of God without apology. That's the mission I'm on, and I think I got it on good grounds. He had compassion. Let's see, look at it. He had compassion for the lost. Matthew 9, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted. They were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd. When he looked at people, they were lost. Do you look at people at all and see them lost? Or you just look at them, guys, that's another sucker. Get over here! Idiot! I mean, look, I do that sometimes. I'm sorry, I'm confessing. But listen, how do we look at both? There's lost people out there. They're going to act like sinners and live like sinners and do crazy things. But we need to love them. When we look at them, are we moved with compassion like Jesus was? He also was moved with compassion on the sick. When Jesus went forth, he saw a great multitude. Say it with me. And he was moved with what? Compassion towards them. And he healed the sick. You know, we ought to care for people that's hurting. You know, I wish I could heal them like Jesus could. I just can't. You know, I guess there are churches you can go to and they'll just fix you up. I just don't believe that's necessarily so. Okay? I've told you before, if I could heal people, I'd only work about 30 minutes. I'd only sleep about 30 minutes a day. And I'd work 23 and a half hours going in every hospital, everywhere I could find. And I'd touch them. And I believe that's how Jesus worked. I really believe he worked like that nonstop. That's why I had to get away to a mountain every once in a while. Just rest! You know what I mean? It's funny today, they'll heal exactly when the cameras are rolling. I'm telling you, he loved people. That's a whole other message, but anyway. He loved people. He loved the sick. Those that were hungry. Look at it. Matthew 15, 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days. They don't have a thing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint away. He cared about folks that were hungry, didn't he? Same. Here's the Son, the living God, who came from heaven, who created everything that was, who was God. But he cared for the sick. He cared for the hungry. He had compassion. Say this with me, if you don't mind. Jesus loved people, and that drove him to do what he did. You might wonder sometimes, Jesus, why'd you do what you did? Here it is. He loved you. Amen? He loved you. He loved you. He loved you. That's why he did this. He came to this earth to accomplish a mission. He didn't come to this earth to marry Mary Magdalene. You hear me say? That's just ignorant. I believe I come all the way from heaven out of earth just like Mary Magdalene. That's dumb. It's just dumb, friend. Anybody wrote something that stupid is stupid. I'm just telling you. Don't see the movie. I like Tom Hanks, but I don't like it. I think it's going to be stupid. Jesus drove all the way from heaven to marry Mary Magdalene. Give me a break. Does that make sense? I worry when I ask questions like that. Somebody's going to go, yeah. keep moving. I'm sort of scatterbrained today. Here we go. Second thing that drove Jesus was this big old fancy word, his condescension. What do I mean by that? His humility. That word can be used two ways. Somebody that's condescending looks down on you and talks down to you. Is that correct? But that word can also mean this, that he came down. Amen? He humbled himself. He came from heaven's glory, from being God and God, totally God. And he came and he took upon himself flesh. He was made a little lower than the angels and became the God-man. He humbled himself. He condescended. He was humble. It drove him. Now, I thought about when I put that up. I thought, a lot of times we think of humility. If you're a humble person or a meek person, you'll get stepped on. You'll get walked on. You know what I'm saying? If you're meek and humble, you're sort of mild and you don't have a lot of energy. That's craziness. I have met more servants of Jesus Christ who had a humble spirit, who would charge hell with a water pestle. They had a great spirit. They were humble. We got a bunch of folks here at Fellowship Church that have that kind of humble spirit. I watch them. I've been working with some of them for 3.5 years. They keep serving. They keep doing. They keep giving. And you know what it is that drives them? It sure ain't the pay. It's that humble spirit. I have watched several that I knew prior to this ministry starting. I've seen you mature in your faith in the Lord. I've seen you have an energy and a drive that you never had before. And it comes out of your humility. It comes out of your willingness to serve the Lord. And there is energy and there is drive when you're humble. If you get the book Good to Great. How many have read the book Good to Great? You ought to read it. Businessmen, you ought to read the book. Help your company. Business women. Good to Great. The one thing that makes a great company is the CEO, the leader, who has a humble spirit. It's amazing. Humility. Jesus had it. Look at Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, Jesus says. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Several scriptures here this morning. Let's look at some other ones. John 13. He rises from supper. He lays aside his garments. He took a towel. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, took a towel, girded himself. Somebody tell me what he did. He washed their feet. He put water in a basin. He began to wash the dirty, stinking disciples' feet. And ain't nothing that stinks like fishermen's feet. I'm telling you that right now. And to wipe them with the towel wherever he was girded. I mean, he washed their dirty feet. He was so humble, it drove him. Can you imagine being God and having people talk to you like those enemies of him talk to him, and you're God and you can just zap them? You better be humble, amen? And he had that humble spirit. And that was the one thing that kept him on the road and the road to the cross. It'll keep you on your road where you need to go. That kind of spirit. Let's keep moving. Isaiah 53, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Philippians 2, he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. And watch this, and being found in fashion as a man, say it with me. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It was his humility that drove him. Hebrews 2:9, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. These are tremendous rich verses. I encourage you to go on the website, hit the PowerPoint program, and just let these verses flow into you this week. These are phenomenal verses that will bless you during this Passion Week. So what drove Jesus Christ? Number one, say it with me, his compassion or his love. Number two, his condescension. What's another word? Humility. And number three, his courage. His courage. Jesus was strong. I can't stand it when I see pictures of a weak sissy Jesus. To me, that's just ignorant too. It just shows you don't know the Bible. You don't know the culture. You don't know the area, the time when he lived. It was crazy. But anyway, he was a strong man. He had courage. He had strength. I ain't met a man yet that'll die for the sins of the world except him. Strong! That's the kind of Savior we have. A mighty God. His courage drove him. He had strength. He had to have that strength, that drive to keep going. I'm convinced of it. Let's look. I found in a couple of areas his courage. When he was on this earth, he had to stand up to the hometown folk. That's not easy sometimes. You know that? It's easy to stand up where you ain't known. But he went back home. He was teaching in the synagogue. And he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, as his custom was, and he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. Let's keep moving. And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do here too. They wanted to put on a show. Here's what Jesus said. By the way, Jesus wasn't about showing. He wasn't about that at all. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Do we have some more scripture? And all day in the synagogue, he said, no prophet except in his own country. And then he also goes on to say, tells a couple of Old Testament stories how Elijah didn't heal at certain times. And he said, it ain't happening here either. They got so mad at him. Look at this. And all day in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. They rose up. They thrust him out of the city. I've been to Nazareth many times. It winds up onto a hill. They led him to the brow of that hill, where their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. And what did he do? But passing through the midst of them, he went his way. I'll tell you something. He had courage. He stood up to the hometown folk. So much so they tried to kill him for crying out loud. That's the kind of Savior you've got. Amen? Courage drove him. Christians need to have courage. We need to be strong. I'm not saying we need to be violent, mean as a snake. I'm not talking about that. But we do need to be strong. We need to have drive. Jesus had it. Let's look at something else. He confronted religious phonies. He stood up to the hometown folk. He confronted religious phonies. Now, we're going to get into this next week on the enemies of Jesus and what drove them. But Matthew 23, here's what Jesus said. And by the way, he didn't say it like away from the crowd, just like talking about people gossiping. This man was strong, Jesus Christ. He was standing on the temple steps where you came into the temple. You had to go through a ritual bath before you got into the temple. So that was the entrance of the temple. He's standing there on the steps. Across through a little valley, Kidron Valley, is the Mount of Olives. There's tombs over there. They're still there today. All kinds of tombs. So he's standing here on the temple steps looking at the valley and all the tombs. And here's what he says to them. Religious phonies. You blind guys, restrain a gnat and swallow a camel. Look at it. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean outside the cup and of the platter, but within you are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, clean first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Verse 27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you're like unto whited sepulchres. He's standing on temple steps. You see him over there? That's what you're like. You indeed appear beautiful. Look how pretty they are. Open them up. They're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Can you feel his drive? Say. Wow. He stood up. He stood up to his enemies. He stood up to religious phoniness. His courage. Let's look at it a little further. He risked his life for his friends. Can you say that? He risked his life for his friends. Many of you will know the story. In John 11. Word got that Lazarus was sick unto death. Jesus seemed to tarry, didn't he? A little while, because he had ministry to do. But then he says this to the disciples. After that said he to his disciples, let us go to Judea. Let us go to Judea, because that's where Lazarus is. And Mary and Martha, and he's sick, and we need to go there. Okay? May have said that he's died. I think the passage may say that. But the fact is, we got to go back there. He had courage. Why am I talking about courage during this? Because look at it. Verse 8. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews have laid sought to stone you, and you're going there again? Jesus stared hell in the face. Are you hearing me today?
Yep.
You might not be brave enough to say it, but if you are, say it with me. Jesus stared hell in the face. Come on, one more time. Jesus stared hell in the face. Looking right on, dead on. You see what I'm saying? Disciples, we ain't going there, boss man, are we? Yes, we are. Gotta go. It's where our friend is. We love Mary and Martha. We're going. He had courage. He risked his life for his friends. Last thing is this, and we're done this morning. He steadfastly set his face toward Jerusalem and the cross. He steadfastly set his face toward Jerusalem and the cross. Luke 9:51. It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. Say that part with me if you don't mind. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. That's what he did this week. Remember Palm Sunday? That's what he did. On the foal of a donkey. And he rode into Jerusalem. Knowing he drove, that drive was taking him right to the cross. He steadfastly set his face. Does that sound like somebody with courage or what? That's our Savior. Let's see what else he said. And stay here with me now. Come on, this is the close of these last scriptures. Mark 10:32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them. And they were amazed. There he is. Going down that road. And as they followed, they were afraid. How many would be afraid? Say, you'd be scared to death? He's going to kill you. They're going to kill us too. Or, you know, it's going to happen. They were afraid. And he took again the 12 and he began to tell them what things should happen to him. This was no accident what happened to Jesus Christ. He knew it all along. He could see the road and see the cross. But he had to drive. He said, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priest. Did it happen that way? Exactly. And unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and they shall deliver him to the Gentiles. Did it happen that way? Exactly. And they shall mock him, and they shall scourge him. Here he is before it ever happens. He's got the road. He can see it. They'll spit on him. I tell you, if you really want to take me off, spit on me. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine that? And I'm a nobody, and that would tick me off. Here's the Son of the Living God, and he spat on his face. And the thing is, he knew it before he ever got here. That's some serious drive, isn't it? And they'll kill him, and the third day he'll rise again. Verse 35. Now I want you to listen. So he's with the disciples. And then here's what happens. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they came to him saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we desire. If we ask you to do something for us, after he just told he's going to the cross, he's going to be spit on, mocked, killed. They said, if we ask you to do something for us, will you do it for us, please, sir? And he said unto them, what would I should do for you? Now watch it, verse 37. They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit. Now he set his face toward Jerusalem. And they're asking that they may what? Sit. One on the right hand and the other on the left hand in glory. Would that sit well with you? Say. I mean, you can read this passage a couple of different ways, but I'm just reading it like I read it and responding like I feel like I need to respond. But I tell you what, if I know I'm going to the cross, if I know I'm fixing to die, and you worry about where you're going to sit. I mean, that's how I look at it. And I put this on the screen for us as we close this morning. Here it is. Set or sit? Can you say that with me? Set or sit? Set or sit? Jesus had his face set toward Jerusalem for the cross, and they were worried about where they were going to set their fanny. Now, I want to be ugly. I think a lot of the church is there today. Instead of having drive and passion for Jesus Christ, we're worried about what kind of stinking seat we're sitting in. Excuse me. Or what the church is going to do for me. What is it with you? I want you to go through this Passion Week this week, and I want it to be just mark in your mind. Is it set or sit with you? Is it set or sit? Is it set or sit? Is it set or sit? Are you worried more about fitting, or do you have a drive? Do you have a passion in your life? Are you committed to Jesus Christ? Are you setting your face towards Him? Are you wanting to serve Him, or is it about sitting? Are you hearing me today? That'll preach one in the country. Set or sit? Set. Can you say that with me? Set or sit? A couple more times. Set or sit? One more time. Set or sit? What is it with you? Well, I think we know what Jesus did. He had the set thing down, didn't he? Here's what he did for us. Last verses this morning. Jesus was driven. He was driven by what? Pop it up. His love, his humility, and his courage. That drove our Savior. other things as well, but I think that was the main thing. Love, humility, and courage. Finally, let's look at these scriptures. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. That's that drive word right there. But look at our Savior. Watch this. But God commended His love toward us. Say it with me. In that while we were yet what? Sinners. Christ died for us. Drive. Listen, we have a Savior who had drive. Amen. I don't know if this helped you or not or blessed you at all. Guess what? It blessed me because I got a Savior who has drive. And you know what? If He's got drive and He's driving and I'm following, I just believe we might get there. Amen. I feel that way. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Amen.